We've all received that phone call, that knock on the door, that text message, or maybe that conversation with a doctor over a table. That conversation, that phone call, that text message that was a sucker punch, because in that moment, suffering happened. Pain entered your life because of a diagnosis, a loss of someone. Suffering hits us like a train out of nowhere. And none of us are exempt from pain and suffering in life. Hurt happens all the time. Injustice happens all the time to us and around us. There was that diagnosis, that conversation, that phone call that hit you like a ton of bricks out of nowhere. I remember a few of those calls in my own life a little over 2.5 years ago. I was driving, it's very vivid. I was driving on a Saturday afternoon, evening, to pick up Chinese food for my family. I was driving right by the fairgrounds in the town I lived in, and I received a phone call, and I looked down, and you shouldn't receive a phone call while you're driving, but this was an exception. And the phone call, it showed up a guy named Kevin Conflin, who is the president of our denomination, and I serve on the board with, a good friend of mine, and I picked up that phone call, and on the other end, Kevin let me know that one of my best friends, a guy named Jeff Sorvik, had just died in a tragic house fire that day. It was like a sucker punch out of nowhere that hit me. I'll never forget, a little less than a year ago, I was sitting at Antlers Park right down the road here with my family, playing at the beach on a nice sunny summer afternoon, and I look down and I look at the phone and it says Bill Hamill. Bill Hamill was one of the pastors, a friend of mine who helped bring me here. And it was in that phone call that I went back by the pine trees and Bill said, it's terminal. I don't have long to live. It was a sucker punch. It was one of those moments in life that just hits you like a ton of brick, that pain and suffering and grief hits you. Another phone call, I was sitting in my office and I looked down and this person, a very close friend of mine, is calling me and they're in vocational ministry. And I was their first call when they had been caught in an adulterous relationship with someone. We're having an affair, and I was their first call. I literally screamed and fell to the floor because of grief and pain that hit me like a ton of bricks. We've all been there in some measure. We've been in there in a macro level of grief, pain, and suffering, or we're in there at micro levels in pain and suffering in our own life in some measure. None of us are exempt from pain and suffering. How do we navigate life with this? How do you prepare for suffering and grief in your own life? What do you do with that emotion that hits you out of nowhere? We're going to talk about this as we talk about life this morning. Pain, suffering, grief, and injustice that hits us out of nowhere. Why is it important that we talk about this, especially in the church? Because I really believe we have sanitized our relationship with God and made it more palatable, because we say, we want no pain or suffering, and God doesn't want us to talk about those things. Or he doesn't want us to talk to him about those things. Because we believe, I think in our own flesh, that our life should be happy and healthy and wealthy all the time. But the reality is the situations we find ourselves in a regular way, reality of life, pain and suffering and grief hit us out of nowhere. If you're an adolescent in this room or grade school, you've experienced it in some measure, but if you're seasoned in life, you understand pain, loss, grief, and suffering in the midst of disaster and death around us all the time. We want pain to go away. We think that we can solve it or we push it away. But how do you navigate this? How do you help others navigate pain and loss and suffering? You see, we kind of have two choices. We can either push into God or run away and push away from God. We can press into him in our pain or push him away. And some even say that pain can be a platform to praise Jesus and point others to Jesus. How do you deal with the pain and suffering in your own life? You're not alone in being exempt from these situations and circumstances. So this morning, my hope is that may we take a step towards discovering the grace, compassion, love, patience, and hope of Christ in and through the pain by lamenting. Would we experience this God? May we see this God of love and compassion and patience and hope in Christ so that through our pain we might lament, meaning that we might cry out to God in prayer. So the big idea this morning is this. Help us this morning. Pain is an unavoidable part of life. It's unavoidable. I really think we're either in pain, coming out of pain, or entering into a painful situation. How's that for good news this morning? I think many of you would agree if you take an observation of your own life. So how do we navigate that? It's unavoidable. Therefore, God gives us permission and a path to press into him in the midst of our pain. He gives us permission to be authentic, real human beings, emotions, all the gamut, in the midst of our pain. And he gives us a pathway of how to navigate that pain. So would you join me this morning that we look into this God who is full of love and compassion and grace and says, would you come to me? Would you come to me in your pain and your grief and your wonderment and even in your doubts? It is a cry of the heart that is confused and wondering as we lament. You see, there is a path between pain and the promise, right? There is pain in life and there's promise of hope. But in that in-between, it is like desert and wilderness experience. And sometimes our pain will never be resolved, and sometimes our injustice will never be resolved. What do we do in this desert time of life, of the already but not yet? What do we do in this place? What do we do in this wilderness? What do we do in this land in between when we're experiencing pain, suffering, and injustice? So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me. If not, the text will be on the screen. We're looking at Psalm 77 this morning. We're going to look at a lament. A lament is a crying out to God. And 1/3 of all the Psalms are a lament. A crying out to God in the midst of pain and suffering. We even have a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations that talks about this. And in this psalm, in Psalm 77, we don't know exactly the circumstance of what's going on in this person's life, but we see this communal aspect of lamenting and crying out, but also this individual aspect. So friends, you and I experience pain and suffering. How will we navigate this in life? It's part of the reality. So let's look at this text and figure out the path per se and how we press into him and the permission to be authentically human and raw and real before God. The psalmist says this, I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand stretched out without wearying, my soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. We see an absolutely crying out of a soul of a human being who is experiencing some kind of pain, injustice, and grief. I think the point we see here is cry out to God in our pain. Don't remain silent. He is experiencing a real and raw conversation with God. Cry aloud. Cry aloud. Now, it's not manly to cry, right? Oh. A soul of a human being that experiences life and the freedom to cry out to God is a path towards being fully human and engaged with the God of the Bible, who's alive and active, who is a good father and says, come to me, who is the Spirit who says, I'll comfort, who is the Son who says, I understand your pain and suffering because I've been down that road. Cry out to me. He says, in my day of trouble. We all experience that day of trouble, and that will happen over and over again. You will have the days of trouble. Jesus never said, I will take you around pain and suffering and injustice. He says, I will take you through it. If you want to walk as a human being, engage with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, you will experience pain and suffering. He says, I will take you through it. Would you cry out to me? It says, my soul refuses to be comforted. Is that real and raw? You ever feel that way? Like, I'm just crying out, but I don't want your comfort. I've got teenage boys who cry out. No, they don't cry. They're men. There's times in our own life when we're crying out. You don't want anybody to hug you. You don't want anything to do with it. And in this moment, this person is crying out, says, I don't even want your comfort. And then he says, my soul moans and my spirit is faint. He is exhausted from crying out. All his tears have dried up probably. And he's crying out to God. And I believe it is messy, isn't it? This isn't like sanitized Christianity. He's all snotty and tears coming out. He's exhausted from crying all night long. He's probably saying things that are theologically thin, if not heretical, in his cries. But it is demonstration of faith to cry out to God and not be silenced. In the midst of pain and suffering and injustice, silence will kill your soul. This is a demonstration of pressing into God in the midst of pain and suffering and crying out and not remaining silent. Aloud I cry. God longs for you to talk to him and bring your cries to him. Our prayers do not have to be sanitized because he justified us. And he wants you to be real and raw before him with your junk and your suffering and your pain. Do you see the God of the universe who is that? Or have you created an own God that says, clean yourself up, and that you have to say these and thous to come to him and do these hoops and jumps? But he says, no, I am your Father. Cry out to me. I am your Spirit who comforts you. And I am the Son who says, come to me in your time of need, and I brought you to the Father. Would you cry out to him? Many of us need to be honest with ourselves in pain and suffering and honest with God about how we feel. Pain is real. If you've ever hammered a nail and held it, tried to hold it in place, you believe in pain, don't you? You believe in suffering. If you've ever been in a relationship with anybody, I'm not talking about sexual, I'm just being in a relationship, had a friend, you understand pain. You understand betrayal. You understand injustice. If you have been friends with any human being, you understand death and suffering and disease that sucker punches us out of nowhere. You have permission to cry out to God. Don't be silent. Push into him. We experience pain and suffering because of our rebellion. Genesis chapter 3, sin has corrupted all things. Romans chapter 8 says, all of creation is groaning. All of creation is groaning, like in childbirth pains, waiting for the redemption of all things. If creation is growing, doesn't that give us permission as the only beings creating the image and likeness of God, who he's redeeming and rescuing through the blood of Christ, to cry out to him in groans? You have permission to cry out. Do you see that freedom with a God who's relational with you, who cares for you, is full of love and compassion and justice? We live in a broken times. To cry out is an act of faith. May we see this personally, but may we also act and give permission corporately in this. Giving permission and to people and room for people to cry out in anguish and to beat where they're at. Not to try to fix them. Trust me. I've been married for 22 years. I realize that. No, I don't. I keep on realizing it. May we be a people in the midst of pain, suffering, and grief to give space to one another in community to cry aloud to God. Many of us don't like that because it makes us feel uncomfortable, because it actually reflects on us. We're like, this is weird. This is uncomfortable. It's not about you. It's not about you when we care for one another. And maybe it's reflecting something in your own life. Do you feel and realize the permission to cry out? Do you know God wants you to cry out to him in your pain, even if it's a complaint? This is absolutely freeing for you as a follower of Jesus. Freeing to cry out. The psalmist doesn't cry out, but then he calls out. It says this, "You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." You ever been there? So troubled, so filled with grief. It's overcome. You can't speak. And I consider the days of old, the years long ago. He's like, I remember the past. I remember better days. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. He says, he's calling out, and this is a move towards dependency upon God. When this crying out, he always says, also call on me and move towards dependence in the seasons of desert and difficulty in your life. Of trouble. He says, days of old, and he says, my song, I remember singing these songs, I remember the graciousness and the compassion, the redeeming work of God. Let me, help me with that. He's calling, he's pressing into him. None of us like to go through difficult seasons. None of us like to go through pain and the wilderness, but it's the place that pushes us to be dependent upon him. Israel would never have leaned into God like they were supposed to unless God took them through the desert. Moses, before that, would have never been dependent upon him unless he expended 40 years hanging out with sheep so he could spend 40 years hanging out with a different type of sheep. He takes us through these times to call out to be dependent upon him. Then he moves into another spot in grief. Because there's a cycle of grief, of anger, resentment, bitterness, questions, bargaining with God that happens in all of us in the midst of pain and suffering. And he moves on and says, then my spirit made a diligent search. He says, my spirit began to look. And he asked these questions. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at the end of all time? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? These are real and raw questions in the midst of pain and suffering. They are not theologically correct. But he asked the question because he's wrestling in his emotions with the circumstances he finds himself in. Do you know you have permission to ask God questions, even if they're theologically wrong? Well, that would be bad. I would be a bad Christian then. You are covered by the grace of Jesus Christ, and God wants you to press into him. He is big enough for your questions. He is compassionate for your questions, full of grace and mercy and patience for your questions in the midst of pain and suffering. Do you question God? Do you feel like you can? I do. Not do I raise my hands in prayer, but maybe I raise my fist at him. Where are you, God? I feel the pain. I feel the suffering. Why did you take this person? Why did this disease happen? Questioning God. Honest questions. God tolerates our questions and allows them. Do you believe that? And that you can come to him in your questions. Listen to how Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrase these questions. I love this. He says, will the Lord walk off and leave us for good? You ever feel that way? Did God just walk off? Did he leave us for good? Will he never smile again? Is his love worn like threadbare? Has it worn out? Has his salvation promise burned out like a lamp? Is just gone, extinguished? Has God forgotten his manners? Has he angrily stalked off or walked off and left us? Just my luck, I said. The high God goes out of business just the moment I need him. You ever feel that way? It's a pain, suffering, grief, disease, diagnosis, abandonment, injustice. You question God. God gives us permission to question. Question God honestly as you wrestle with his promises in your pain. All throughout the Psalms of Lament, there are the questions of why, O God, how long, and where are you? It is the reality of the emotions of human beings in the midst of pain and suffering. There's a significant difference between doubt and denial. We see in the psalmist in a pattern over and over, I don't think it's just described in the Lament Psalms, but I think it's prescriptive for us to wrestle with God in our doubts and call out in our doubts. Because when you doubt, there's unbelief. And that means you're leaning into him for belief. Because without doubts, you know everything, don't you? And that puts you in a place of what? Pride, arrogance, and God himself. In the midst of doubts, wrestling, we press into him and say, I don't understand. How long, where are you, and what is going on? And he is big enough for those questions. Notice what he is truly asking here. He is questioning, where is God's favor? Where is God's love? Where is God's promises? Where is his faithfulness? And where is God's compassion? It's a pretty significant list to be questioning God about. Does the psalmist really believe that God is not loving and compassionate and all those things? I don't think so. I think we will see that the psalmist rests in this, yet this is the circumstances, the emotions that have come about because of his circumstance. And if we think that this is ill-advised, then we must look to our Savior who was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even our Savior cries out to his Father and questions him on the cross in the midst of his pain, in the midst of his suffering for us. Do you feel the permission to question God? Because in that, you are free. To question God is an act of faith. It's not denial. It's doubting. It's wrestling. It's wondering about him. These are true feelings. That's what it means to be human, to be in this place of pain where promises are promised, but I don't know that yet. I don't feel that. I don't experience that personally. Are you walking this path of freedom? To call out, to cry out, and to question God in your pain and suffering. He wants a dynamic conversation with you, and that's part of prayer. If you think prayer is just these and thous and saying the right things and it's not this, then I want to journey with you and help you understand what prayer is. Because prayer is not sanitized language with God. It's real and raw conversations with God, both in exaltation and the realness of life too. This is what it means to be in this relationship with Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit. And then may we as a church allow us to lament and be in pain and be in grief and ask questions of God, even verbally, that might be theologically thin or even heretical. You're like, well, that's bad. I want to help people. Helping people is allowing them to be where they're at in their pain and suffering as you journey with them. It is not your job to get them theologically correct and to slap them over the head with a verse. God works all things out for the good of those who love him. In the midst of pain and suffering, shut your trap and be still and listen. Because that is the character of God here. He's listening. He's hearing the cries and the call out and the pain and the questions. May we be a church family who interpersonally cry out to God and call out to God and question God. And may we be a community that allows those things to happen. Alexander McLaren says this, doubts are better put into plain speech than lying diffused and dark and mean hidden. Like a poisonous mist in the heart, he says, that those doubts that are kept hidden. A thought be it good or bad, can be dealt with when it is made articulate. I mean, give voice to them. Bring them to the light. Do you know you have permission to call out in your pain? Some have stopped and have grown silent with God. And your soul is dying. And bitterness and rage and anger you've settled in. Instead of crying out and pushing into God and your calls or your calling out, your questions. Grief has multiple stages. May we have permission for ourselves with God and permission with others to journey in this way. The crying out, the calling out, and the questions has a foundation which this sits on. Apart from walking with God, the crying out, the calling out, the questioning of God leads to nowhere. Some without Jesus in our life, that can lead to a spiral and a pit that has no end, that leads into a dark soul forever and ever. But that crying out, that calling out, and that questioning has a foundation for which all that lies on. And you see that in the Psalms, and you see that pattern all through the laments. And it turns here in this next verse. In verse 10, it's the word then. In the midst of crying out, in the midst of calling and questioning, the psalmist in his lament and his pain and suffering, he turns. He has this then, or other places in the scripture it says but, or yet, or however in the laments. It turns on this place. And what happens here? In the midst of his calling out and his crying out and his questioning, his lamenting and the pain and suffering, he begins to speak truth to himself. He says, then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Then I will preach to myself. When's the last time you preached a sermon to yourself of the truth of God? Now, how long did it take him to come to this place? We don't know if it's an hour, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 10 years, or 20 years. To go through the place of questioning, crying out, calling on God. This isn't microwave grief. You got it? This is more of a crockpot reality of life. We don't know how long it got to this point of then, yet, and now. And it might take us years, it might take us days, it might take us hours. There might be a meta-narrative of our life that we continue to go through this, and cycles of this, that we come to the then. But he says, I will remember your deeds, this general reality of remembering. I will ponder, I will sit and meditate and think about your great deeds. And he turns his attention to God. He says, your ways, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Now, they were surrounded by a plurality of gods, but in our own culture, who is strong and mighty than other than God? Yet we put our hope in money. We hope our power and our hope in other gods of our own things. And God is the only one who's power. Remind me of that. He says, verse 14, you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. So he says, I will remember, and this is who you are. We don't know how long it took him to get there, but he got there. His calling out, his crying out, his questions land on this firm foundation instead of spiraling into abyss of the unknown. Then he gets really specific in verse 15. Not just general remember, not just pondering God. He says, now this. He says, you with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. He's going into the meta narrative of how God rescued and redeemed his people. Listen to this. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings light up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Then he lands the plane here. What is all that description about God's mighty power, mighty redemption in verse 19? Your ways was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprint was unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. In the midst of pain and suffering that is in the windshield of his life, in the midst of questioning and wondering, what does he reach back to remember? What does God always, throughout all the Old Testament, calls his people to reach back to and remember? His mighty, strong, redeeming, and rescuing hand of his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. He says, would you remember? The foundation for calling out, for crying out, for questioning, is you land at this place of reaching back to remember. Remembering God's redeeming and rescuing mighty acts. You sit in that place and you get perspective that also propels you to a hope that is to come. This is the mighty act. He rescued, he redeemed, he helped his people. He's a God of freedom, of grace, and promise. It is the single act throughout all of the Old Testament of the rescuing work of God to his people that they reach back and remember. So what is the psalmist, how does he land? He lands at reaching back to God's redemptive work for his people and for him personally. So in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our difficulty, what do we reach back to? We reach back to the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the ascension of Christ. That is our hope. Because in the life of Christ, we see the God of the universe who became one of us, who suffered and was tempted in every way. And we come to him in our time of need because he's our empathetic and sympathetic high priest. So we can run to him. And his life is an example of that. His death. He conquered death. Death is no more. Pain will be no more. There will be no more tears. There will be no more disease. He conquered death, Satan, sin, and the flesh. In his ascension, or when in his resurrection, he conquered death. We are promised a new body, a new heaven, no more suffering, no more death. All things new, heaven, earth, body, all new, glorious. In his ascension, he reigns and rules and holds it all together. In the midst of pain, suffering, calling, crying, question, we have to land as a people who reach back and remember his promises and his work for his people and for us personally. That propels us to a hope. That's what lands us in the midst of calling and questioning, is remembering. Why do you think Jesus says, take this cracker, take this juice, and what? Remember. Because we have amnesia all the time. We have to prepare to suffer well. It is Jesus who conquered it all. In Revelation chapter 21, it says there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. It's done. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward as we continue to move forward. This is where he lands. He says he led them like a shepherd. He redeemed and rescued and led them like a shepherd. Let me ask you, do you know the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, who says, cry out to me in your pain and your suffering and your grief and your injustice? Lay yourself bare. Do you know the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, who says, call out to me? Call out to me in your time of need, and I will answer you. Do you know the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, who is big enough for your questions because of the circumstances you are in? like rolling over you, that you don't feel his mercy, you don't feel his compassion, you don't feel his love, you don't feel his justice, you don't feel those things, yet the reality is they're there. And he says, come to me, question me, because those questions are pressing into me in the midst of your doubts and wrestling with me. And will we be a community that allows people to wrestle with God, to question God? May we raise our kids to allow them to ask questions of God and not give the trite theological answers, but journey with them. Not denying, but doubting in the midst of pain and suffering, disillusionment and injustice. When the time allows, may we be a people who recall by the power of the Spirit the Scriptures and remember his redeeming and rescuing act in Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So we might be free. Free to be in a relationship with God. I think some of you don't feel that freedom. Feel like you have to be sanitized in your prayer life, and you have to get it all together before you even talk to God. You actually, many of you might even apologize to God for your emotions. He doesn't need an apology. He knows you. May we be a people who find this freedom to run to the Father, who is our Abba in our time of need. May we come to him through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, our empathetic and sympathetic high priest, who understands all the pain and suffering and doubts and disillusionment that you have gone through. He says, come to me. And may you receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the recollection of the Holy Spirit to rest in remembering and the hope of the promise that is to come. We stand together. Father, lead us as a kind shepherd. Holy Spirit, comfort us in our pain, our loss, our grief, our disillusionment. Lord, thank you for the faith that's in this room, but increase our faith, increase our hope to persevere through this world. Lord, I pray that we would not live in isolation, but interdependence upon one another. And by your miraculous grace, that we would be a community that lives vulnerably before you and before one another to find that freedom. May we continue to rest in knowing that you are our dad, and we are your children, and you care deeply for us.